And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. The phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Okay. We've got another chance or opportunity to learn something this morning. I'm probably talking to myself as much as anybody, but I think we can learn together. So I came across this article. I realize this is probably not going to be super popular for some people, but it's just the way it is. And so I'm okay with criticism. It may be that you don't like this, but let's take a look at this right here. This is an interesting little study where they just looked at which children live and which ones die. Of course, I don't want any child to die. I hate that. If you look around, there's so many problems in the world, and sometimes children are the ones that suffer the most because of the decisions of one or two or more people. Sometimes family traits are so bad that the kids just never get a good shot. Anyway, here's the story right here. This comes from the International Journal of General Medicine. And here's the article title right here. Total meat intake is associated with life expectancy. And what they're saying is this is a cross-sectional data analysis of 175 contemporary populations. So they looked just about everywhere to see what was going on with kids dying. And there's a debate right now. The debate is meat healthy? Should we avoid meat? There's all sorts of reasons. Yesterday I asked a woman a question in response to her stating that she knows of a woman that's in a very high stress job and she's very, very lean, but she does not eat any meat, only vegetables. And so, of course, I don't know all the information. But she was just talking about it, and I said, you know, just out of curiosity, has she ever said why she doesn't eat meat? And the answer was, for ethical reasons. And so I've asked this question probably hundreds of times of people that don't eat meat, and they usually have something along those lines for ethical reasons. So I think that's a fair general statement. Okay. Here's a study right here. Australian biological anthropologist at the University of Adelaide, I like that name, Adelaide, sounds like Adeline almost, collected data on infant mortality up to the age 5 and life expectancy of children up to age 5 in 175 different countries or regions of the world. They also collected the data on meat intake in those areas, and they looked to see if they could find an association between the two. I know what you're thinking right now. You're going, but I'm not 5 years old. Okay, I get that, but this is just a point right here. And there's a graph. Of course, you can't see the graph, but here's how it's plotted. It has the amount of meat that's consumed in kilograms by child per year, and that's plotted against child mortality, 5 years and under. And what they're doing is they're looking at a statistical analysis based on per 1,000 kids. And so, you know, I know this is kind of negative, but all the cards are on the table. So we're trying to find out how much meat comes in contact with little babies and which babies live and which ones don't live. And what they showed is there's a much higher, or what I should say is the higher the meat intake in the area, or this region of the world where they have babies, the higher the life expectancy and the lower infant mortality rate. And I looked at this and I thought, this is interesting. Now I realize, when you're a brand new baby, you've got to have protein. If we removed all the water from your body, I realize, I mean, water's the topic of holding water in your body is a complex topic. But it's interesting. I like it. I like thinking about those complex things. It's just kind of fun to figure out how things work. But if it weren't for the water, as the vast majority of your entire body, so let's just say you're 70% water, you would be mainly made of amino acids and fatty acids. And what I forgot to say was, these are essential amino acids and essential fatty acids, meaning You've got to have these. I mean, essential amino acids, these are literally the building blocks of life. So let me pose a question to you. What happens when you provide your body all the essential amino acids that it requires? Well, guess what you get? You get perfect development and growth. The body has everything it needs as its basic raw building materials to grow a beautiful, healthy baby. Okay? What happens if you do not provide the body everything it needs to grow new tissue? Whether that be bone or brain, or I should have said nervous system, cardiovascular system. What about kidneys and the liver? Well, in order to grow, you got to have the basic building blocks. So you already know what's going to happen when you do not give the body what it needs as far as protein or amino acids. There's just a whole bunch of stuff that's left undone. And of course, the body has this unique hierarchy system where it goes into more mission-critical or essential-to-life areas of the body, but there may be other systems that just go undone. And of course, in my mind, even though the study's looking at infants, what I'm really thinking of also is I'm thinking about the older population. I mean, literally, these are easy to pick out. You're out in public, you're shopping at a store, and you see an older person that's moving so slowly, and they're just kind of shuffling along. Well, I can tell you right now, they're doing the very best that they can. But the main issue is they have lost so much of their muscle mass and their strength. Or another way of saying it is, they've lost so much of their protein. And so I have this graph I'm looking at, even though that you can't see it, you're going to kind of take my word for it. But the more animal protein or meat consumption, and the unit of measurement they used from Australia was kilograms, but what is it? Is it 2.2 pounds that equals 1 kilogram? Anyway, but they show that the more meat consumption, it's like a rocket ship taking off at a 45-degree angle almost. But it shows that infant mortality, well, kids aren't dying when they eat protein from an animal source. Okay, so just kind of take it as that right there. And you can always look up the article if you want. If I didn't get you the article's exact address, I'll try to get that to you. The researchers used these statistics to remove the effects of local average energy intake. The number of people living in a city, I'm sure that makes a difference. I don't know exactly how. We could come up with some ideas. The effect of obesity, education, and the intake of energy-rich vegetable carbohydrate foods. However, the positive effect of meat remained intact, even if they removed these other factors. Meat intake was almost as strong as a positive factor as level of education. You know, and when I read that, I went to my computer, and I think the website that I looked up, and I look up a lot of stuff at this website because it's just fun and easy. And you know what? It does save me time. So you know how you can try to remember where you read something in the Bible, but you don't remember its location. You've forgotten the address. And so you might type in a key phrase. And so what I did was I typed in, get wisdom. And so that comes from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. And it says, get wisdom, get understanding. Now, is that just a gentle suggestion? Does it say, you know, if you want to be smart, if you want to know how to apply knowledge, if you'd like to know how to make the right decisions given difficult circumstances, maybe you should consider wisdom? It doesn't say that at all. I think the author of Proverbs 4, that would be Solomon. If I'm wrong, forgive me. I can look that up also. But it says, get wisdom, get understanding. Now, two verses later in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, it says, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. And then the second part of the verse in chapter 4, verse 7 of Proverbs says this, though it cost all you have, get understanding. And so they're looking at these two factors right here that can predict if a child is going to live or if the child is going to die. And one factor is, how much meat do they eat? Okay, number two, Yeah, wait, you probably don't. I know this sounds simplistic, but not everybody knows what the definition of meat is. Okay? Are you with me on that? So if I just simply say, this would be the consumption of eggs from a chicken. It could be eating the chicken. I know in talking to many people about this topic, some people are terrified of any type of meat other than white, boneless, skinless breast meat from a chicken. So if they were presented a chicken thigh or a wing or a drumstick, they ain't gonna eat that. That's just, they can't do it. They're just real picky that way. You're probably thinking I'm making this up, but I hear these things frequently. But which one of those is more nutrient dense? Which one has more nutrients? Of course, what I might want to really say is, which one has the most vital energy in the life force? What provides you the biggest bang for the buck? Well, maybe that's going to be the dark meat. Okay? I know I sound like a broken record, but literally, a long time ago, let's just say back 50, 60 years ago, 70 years ago, it was very common that mothers would cook their children liver and onions. Or maybe they didn't use onions. I think that helps the taste. But they would prepare liver in some shape, form, or fashion because of the basic principle. If you want to keep your kids from getting sick, if you don't want your kids down all the time with one allergy after the other, liver is just absolutely the most nutrient-dense food on the earth. Now, liver gets a bad rap. And yes, that's meat. Liver, it's not skeletal muscle like the fast-twitch muscle fiber of, a ribeye steak. But what liver is, it's smooth muscle, but it's still meat nonetheless. So they're saying there's two factors here. The more educated the parents, the better. To me, that just makes logical sense. Wouldn't you like a mom and dad that can make good choices? Of course. And you know what I mean here. You do not let your young child decide what they're going to eat. I mean, I've heard parents say many times, I just want my kid to be happy. And so whatever makes them happy. And I'm thinking, but the kid is sick. They have this health condition that's driving them crazy and driving you crazy. The kid's miserable, and because your child is miserable, your son's miserable, you're miserable too, because they're constantly in pain. And so what I'm thinking of, what if the kid had an autoimmune disease that's driven by a junk food diet? Well, you got to use executive, decision-making skills here. No, I'm not going to give my kid donuts and Mountain Dew for breakfast or Sunny Delight. I'm going to give him real food that God's made. Okay. Here's what the researchers say. Now, this is interesting right here because researchers, they get to come up with all these different conclusions. Why would meat play a factor in the health of a child? And so the researchers suspect that the correlation they discovered is due to the positive health effects of meat. And I thought, wow, that's a genius statement. So the researchers from Australia are looking at 175 different countries, and they're finding out the kids live longer, and they just don't die when they eat meat. And they came up with, they discovered there might be a positive health effect from eating meat. Yeah, I know what you're saying. You're going, duh. Anyway, part number two. This is their next observation. Meat may not only provide energy and high-quality protein, and here's the punchline as far as I'm concerned, but also it has all kinds of substances that support health that are just not found in plants. Now, of course, I'm not saying that plants are bad. I'm not saying that grains are bad. I didn't say that fruit is bad. We talk about those things all the time. Everything that God has made in the universe is unique, very unique. And there's no two things that are identical. Well, sure, you may have some carotenoids that are found in carrots, and those same carotenoids may be in some level of concentration in squash, and you might find those same carotenoids in a mango, and these are all three different plants. But they're showing now that maybe there's something in meat, even though we don't know what it is. It seems to have a life-promoting, life-sustaining effect upon the body. And, of course, They say, well, there's another factor. Well, what if you don't have enough money to afford me? Oh, I get that. I had a woman come see me this week, and she had all her kids with her and a friend. And one of the issues was, we're going to go on a picnic after we come to see you, Dr. Morgan. We're going to go out to Lake Jacksonville, and we're just going to have a picnic and play in the water on the beach there at the, I guess, where the piers are. I think that's where it is. I remember that. But they said, we just got a little bit of groceries. It was $60. Oh, my goodness. Food prices are astronomical. You know, one thing that I read, this was about 2 weeks ago. I just like information. I'm like you are. We're here to learn, and we got to find a way to apply it. But they're saying that car repossessions are the highest in over 15 years. And you know what a repossession of a car represents, don't you? A person takes out a loan, but they just don't honor their commitment to pay for it. Of course, that's epidemic proportions in America, where people say they're going to do something, but they don't do it. So I think that car repossessions are at 20,000 cars a day. It's actually over 20,000, but that's probably the number I'm going to round off to. Well, what I started to think was, okay, in modern times, how can you drive to work? What if it takes, like a gentleman was telling me yesterday, it's an hour and a half to work, and when he leaves the office, guess how long it takes to get back home again? That's right, an hour and a half. So his average day is 14 hours. I think he said from 4:30 in the morning, just tack on 14 hours until he gets home. So that's a lot of time. So his work is very stressful. But that's 3 hours a day of just driving, road time. Now, I realize he could probably use that pretty well. Maybe he's listening to sermons on the radio. Maybe he's listening to KBJS. Maybe he's listening to podcasts called Health Essentials. He's trying to get information. But the issue is, how can a person go to have a job and provide for their family if they don't have a car to get there? So I don't know when the other shoe is going to hit the ground, or however you want to say it, but what's going to happen when people cannot drive to a job interview or get a job because their car is repossessed, because groceries are so expensive? And I don't know. You tell me, what are people doing here? Are they choosing to pay their rent? Are they paying their electric bill? Are they paying for food and saying, I don't have enough left over to make a car payment. I'm going to try to, hopefully things will improve a couple months down the road. Maybe I can start the payments back up. I don't know. Well, going back to meat for a second, what's your experience with meat? I've heard this comment so many times, there must be something to it. But I've heard people say something along the lines of this statement right here. Dr. Morgan, if I go too long without meat, I just don't feel good. Well, what happens next, ma'am? Well, if I eat meat or animal protein, I start to feel better. I'm going, interesting. Make a notation of that, Roy. Or if I eat too many carbohydrates, I start feeling sick. I'm going, okay. So what's your experience? Are you completely good without eating any meat? Do you feel perfectly fine? I think one of the things that I see over and over again is just there's always a point where a man loses so much of his muscle mass, it becomes so physically weak, and of course, this is one of the aspects that I want to talk about maybe this morning if I have time. If not, we need to probably take some phone calls so I can start trying to help assist as many people as I can this morning. But that was the number one predictor when COVID-19 first started. They could predict two or three things here with great accuracy. Number one, when somebody shows up at the emergency room and they're saying, I'm having a hard time breathing and I got fluid in my lungs and I have a fever, and I'm so weak, I can't do anything, they would test them and say, well, we know the reason why. You've got COVID-19. And so when they would put them in intensive care, they know without a shadow of a doubt, those people that have the least muscle mass as they show up to the ER with COVID-19, they're the number one group of people that are going to die the quickest. And you're probably thinking, well, why is that? Well, you have two types of immunity. When you go to a doctor and they do a blood test called a CBC with a differential, sometimes that's kind of wordy, I'm sorry. They measure all the red blood cells, your hemoglobin, your hematocrit, and then they look at your white blood cells by counting the numbers of them. Neutrophils, lymphocytes, monocytes, basophils, eosinophils, you know, stuff like that. So when they measure those, they're actually trying to make a unit of some way to measure what's the strength of the person's immune system. Well, you know full well if your red blood cell count came back really low, and your hemoglobin came back really low, and your hematocrit was really low, and other markers were low related to red blood cells, wouldn't that tell you that you're anemic? Okay, this is not rocket science. When a person is anemic, does their body perform just real fabulously? The answer is no. They're tired, they're cold, the hair is falling out, they have almost no motivation, they're really weak, they have horrible, horrific brain fog. How would you like to have your brain so fogged up and so cloudy? Or another way of saying it is, I get overwhelmed so easily mentally. I feel like I can't process. Everything gets garbled, and well, that's what you have with anemia. Things just go undone, and the red blood cells, what do? Well, one of the things they do is they transport all the good things like oxygen to your brain cells. And when you don't get oxygen to the brain cells, what happens? Well, not good. Well, when it comes to the immune system, cell-mediated immunity is when you have enough neutrophils and white blood cells to do the job, to keep you free from disease like cancer or infection or other problems. Humoral immunity is where your body, and this is the point that I'm trying to make, your body is supposed to manufacture and generate antibodies. You ever heard of antibodies before? Well, what are those made from? Well, they're made from protein. Well, where's your biggest reservoir or reserve of protein? It comes from your muscles. Folks, the thing of it is, if you lose muscle and you lose your strength, it's game over. There's nothing in reserve. So even though the study I'm reading to you is about five-year-old kids from newborns all the way up to 5 years of age, they can predict very accurately. But I would also kind of build a case that when a person ages, sometimes they become so picky in their eating, they just refuse to eat anything other than, I don't know, fill in the blank, anything other than protein. Anyway, if you want to join me on the radio, I just looked at the clock. I'm already 23 minutes into the program. The number here at the station is area code 903-586-5257. So if you have something that you've been contending with, now not every system in the body gives you symptoms. So for example, I don't know how many people that I've talked to that have had kidney failure and they're on dialysis, and they said, I had no idea my kidneys were failing me. I think I talked to two people this week that had kidney failure, and they just couldn't tell because the kidneys, they do not really give off a lot of tremendous symptoms. If your kidneys dropped in efficiency by 10%, my preference would be that you would have gut-wrenching, stabbing pain that doubles you over. Is that because I want you to suffer? Well, no. But it's because I want you to go, oh my goodness, what am I doing here? What I would like is every time you drink a Coca-Cola or a Pepsi or a Dr. Pepper, I'd like you to have this searing, stabbing pain in your side to warn you and tell you, this is like death in a bottle. Don't do it. But the body doesn't operate that way when it comes to the kidneys. It just doesn't. Okay, let's go to the phone lines here. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan, I'm glad to hear you talk about the kidneys because that was going to be a question. You started on telling us some things last week, and I would just like for you to enlarge on what our kidneys do, how we can keep them healthy, and you made the statement that our kidneys aren't supposed to make fluid all night long.
No, and they're supposed to be sleeping when you're sleeping.
Well, I go to the bathroom at least twice during the night, and so that was a statement really caught me. So So if you can tell us, you know, why, or what should I look for, what should I be changing possibly, or in my diet?
I'll be glad to.
Okay. You want me to hang up and just listen?
Well, whatever you want to do. Is that what you prefer?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. So let's go ahead and get started with this right here. For example, if you went to a doctor and said, you know what, I haven't had a physical in a while, could you run some labs on me? Well, there's one lab panel called CMP that stands for Comprehensive Metabolic Panel. And in that panel, besides it looking at markers that evaluate, say, liver function, they measure electrolytes, but they're going to measure kidney function. And one of the ways they do that, there's a marker called BUN. That is an acronym for the terminology blood urea nitrogen. Well, if that stays at 17 or below, all is well. But if that goes up to, say, 26, 27, 30, 35, 40, that's a pretty good indication the kidneys are really under very, very significant stress and they're complaining big time. And this is separate and apart from what a person feels. You can't really trust your feelings, but you can trust the blood urea nitrogen test, because when that's elevated, it could be everything from... And so you asked me one of the things the kidneys do. Well, one of the things that they do, they're literally one of the most elegantly designed, sophisticated filtration systems of the blood. And so they have this tremendous task in trying to keep your blood clean and in great working order. And so as your body is able to pump blood through the kidneys with enough force and velocity, the kidneys can do their job, which is to remove toxins and debris. And then what they do is they process that and send it down to the bladder. That way, when you have an urge to go to the bathroom, you can relieve it in the form of urine. Okay?
Okay.
So number next, the other thing, the kidneys, they have these very unique sensors where they're constantly licking and tasting your blood. I know that sounds gross the way I'm saying it, but they have these sensors. And they're trying to find out, is your blood in a good place? Is it high quality? So if a person is anemic, the kidneys are sparse, they're supposed to already know that information. And what they do is they release a hormone called erythropoietin, telling the body, hey, Mr. Stem Cell, could you make some more blood for us? We're getting a little bit low. We want to keep the human body in optimal working condition. Another thing that the kidneys do that I find so interesting is they help direct where protein goes in the body. So, for example, if this morning for breakfast you're planning on eating 3 eggs over easy, an avocado, and some toast and butter, there's protein in the egg whites. And what we want is we want your kidneys to eventually do their job, which is to say, okay, where's this stuff really necessary? What do we need to repair? Oh, we need to go to the brain. Well, your kidneys, they play a tremendous role in that. And so if you told me, well, does it do anything else? I'd say, well, you know, the eyes are pretty important. And the last time I checked, we have this almost water-like fluid in the eye. And so what is it that filters and purifies the water that's in your eye? Well, that'd be the kidney. Mm-hmm. Well, what about what keeps your minerals in balance? That'd be the kidney. They're the gatekeeper. So if you have a 60-year-old man, and he gets up in the pulpit to preach a sermon, and then he collapses and falls down, I'm going to go with dehydration this time of year. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, I've already seen so many wacky, wackadoodle-doo things in people this year. It's all because of dehydration. I've seen people hallucinate and start talking to somebody, and it was all because they're dehydrated. Mm-hmm. But the kidneys, they play such a valuable role in maintaining the balance of electrolytes. These are minerals that hold an electrical charge. So I guess maybe if I say this in reverse, how long can a person live if the kidneys just completely shut down? Well, not long.
Yeah.
Now, number two, if you ask me what have I personally seen that's the most horrific and damaging to the kidneys of all time, what would you guess that I would say? I'm going to say antibiotics and drugs. And so I know that antibiotics have saved millions of lives. But in some people, they are so toxic to the kidneys that, yes, You can take them to overcome an infection, but it may just totally destroy your kidneys in the process. That's another reason why you want to be as healthy as you can and not rely on antibiotics. I understand if you need antibiotics, take them. I'm all for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're the type of person that several times a year, every time you have a sniffle or you feel off, you go straight to the doctor and they're all too willing to give antibiotics, and the ER does it too. Mm-hmm. I think that's just so wrong. We're just weakening the body. But antibiotics, they can be so hard on the kidneys. The other ones, I don't know if you've heard the study before, but they've shown that one of the other things that your kidneys really do a good job of, they probably have about 90 to 95% of the authority over a person's blood pressure. Do you know what that really means?
Wow.
If blood pressure goes up, that means the kidneys are failing to do their job. Does that sound reasonable?
Mm-hmm.
And so if a person's taken 5 drugs to regulate blood pressure, well, there's a pretty good guess here that their kidneys aren't even remotely working as well as they should. Then the other marker on that comprehensive metabolic panel, it's called, they usually put a small letter E, but sometimes they don't, but the small letter E stands for the word estimated. But there will be another acronym, GFR, that stands for glomerular filtration rate. Have you heard of that before?
I think only on your program.
Well, but when your doctor does a blood test, look at it.
Okay.
And so if that GFR comes back at 100, what that simply means to you and me is it means your kidneys are working at 100% efficiency. I know this is not, like, super logical, but if you had a cell phone and your cell phone was at 28% charge and your battery's getting weak, or, say, 5% charge, what would you think about that? Would you think, you know what, I'm fixing to drive to Dallas. I mean, my car's not in good working order. Surely I won't need to use my cell phone to make an emergency call to call AAA to come save me. Or I'm on E and I don't have any gas. I'll just wing it and see if I can make it to Dallas on an empty tank. Well, you know, you're rolling the dice. That's a bad case of playing the game called Russian roulette. You don't want a battery that's that low in charge, do you? You want to take off to Dallas with 100% charge. I mean, from Tyler to Dallas, in case anybody's wondering what I'm referring to. And so if your GFR comes back 100, you're going, oh, my goodness, this is amazing. Now, in all fairness, I see plenty of people where their GFR is above 100, which means these have superhuman kidneys. They're just doing a great job. They're working really efficient. So it doesn't take a genius to figure out that if the kidneys are at 100%, things must be pretty good with the health of the kidneys. But what if that number comes back and it's the number 50? That means you got a whole lot of kidney damage. Your kidneys are in disrepair. They are not working well at all. And so if you tell me that you're getting up twice a night, mm-hmm. I would say that maybe your kidneys are quite a bit weaker than what they should be. And it would be good to focus on what are we going to do to help the kidneys. Now, I kind of started talking about blood pressure, and I know I get off on tangents, but I was just going to say, if you want to beat the crap out of the kidneys, then just take ibuprofen. Take Tylenol. Thank the good Lord for that. So you the other thing, food-wise, there is nothing that just beats the stuffing out of the kidneys like white refined sugar and lots of it, especially in the form of a carbonated beverage that's full of what's called phosphoric acid.
Okay. Well, see, I've eliminated sugar
good.
Out of my diet.
You're telling your kidneys, I love you. I love both of you, my right kidney and left kidney.
Uh-huh.
And so when the other thing that the kidneys do, besides regulating blood pressure, is they help control the pH of the body. And so if you put high acid food in the body all the time, or I know this is going to sound weird, but I'm going to say it anyway. When you tell me that you're in a place of love and joy and peace and you're content with what's given you, what God has given you, and you're a happy person and you're choosing to live your days showing gratitude and thanks to God for all he's done for you, that's when everything's pretty calm in the kidneys. But if you tell me that you don't like your life and God has dealt you a raw deal and you blame him for everything and you live with anger and bitterness and resentment, and you're stressed all the time, and you're so fearful and you worry, well, all that's doing is creating adrenaline, and adrenaline by its very nature and cortisol, they are highly, highly acidic. I realize this is different, unique information I'm giving, but I like to talk about things that nobody else does because I think it's important. But So when you're calm and happy and peaceful, the kidneys are usually, they got the best situation to heal. But if you're continually blaming everybody else and always angry, that's acid on the kidneys, and acid is going to destroy them. Of course, you already know that acids, they're very corrosive to the body, aren't they? If I asked you, can I take some battery acid and put it directly in your hand, what would you say?
No.
What if you had a cup of water in your hand and I put a drop in that? Would you do that?
Probably.
I meant the drop of acid would be diluted by all the water in your that you were cupping. I didn't say it very well. But you get what I'm saying, don't you?
I think so.
And so most people, would you say they drink enough water or not enough water?
Not enough.
I would say you're right. I'd say 95% of the time a person's just not consuming enough water. And so water's essential. Now, I will say this. I really think that herbal teas, whether it be rose hips tea or passion flower tea or green tea, hibiscus tea, dandelion root, anything, marshmallow, anything else that you can think of, I think that counts as water. And I think you make it easy for your kidneys to do their job when you drink herbal teas. So you're doing yourself a huge favor.
Okay.
And so when you're trying to improve the kidneys, you've got to get enough blood flow. So besides avoiding sugar and making sure that you're well hydrated, drinking herbal teas, make it easy on your body. Just try to get in a place where you're at peace with God and you're doing the best you can.
You know, I thought I was, but if my kidneys are telling me I'm not, then maybe I better do some inside soul searching.
Well, and I'm not suggesting that's the issue right there, but if your kidneys are weak, we need to start, what do we do to repair them? Now, the things that I rely on day in and day out because they work is I use what are called protomorphogens. Sometimes they're called PMGs for short, and that stands for protomorphogen glandulars. And I realize not everybody likes this. I don't have a problem with it, though. I think it's fabulous. These are animal products.
Oh.
And I have no problem recommending them to anybody and everybody, even if they're a vegetarian. Now, vegetarians usually shoot me down because they have an ethical issue, and that's their choice. That's fine by me, but they take a calf, when they take them to the processing facility, they take the kidneys and they're removing the nuclear vitamins from the nucleus of the kidney cell, and they put it in tablet form. So when you swallow these, it's going to be a system that when they go to your kidneys, it's going to help assist your kidneys in making repairs. And so I'm going to say this kind of simply, and I think that you'll get it, but as a Christian, are you supposed to grow?
Yes.
Absolutely. What happens if you're not growing? What direction are you going if you're not growing?
Backwards.
That's right. You're dying. And the kidneys are exactly the same way. When it comes to health, either you're promoting the growth of brand new kidney cells, you're trying to heal the tissue, you're changing your circumstances so the kidneys can improve, because if you're not doing something for the kidneys, guess what they're doing? They're dying. In this toxic world. So if you walk barefoot every day, that's been shown to improve kidney function. If you take a half of a teaspoon of plain Jane, Arm & Hammer baking soda, that's been shown to improve kidney function. Now, I think that uric acid is just brutal on the kidneys, and you get uric acid from high fructose corn syrup and from drinking a lot of sweet tea.
Oh, yeah, no.
None of the drug dealers in town can make near as much money as the fast food restaurant. I won't mention its name, but they sell chicken. But they have people that literally buy four jugs of their sweet tea every day in the drive-thru. So it must be like crack cocaine. But there's so many people that sweet tea is their weakness. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay, so walking barefoot in the grass and the dirt, that's been shown to really help the kidneys. Now, you can research all that. It's called earthing or grounding. I want to say where I got that from was the Journal of Occupational It's either therapy or medicine. And they did a study on people that had kidney damage and kidney failure, and they had them walk barefoot, and lo and behold, they started to see improvements.
Well, how much do you have to walk barefoot a day in the grass?
Well, how far is your church from your home?
Well, I live in a senior independent community.
Well, then just walk down the hallway.
Well, that's what, but I wouldn't be in the grass.
No, I know. I was just sort of teasing about that.
Yeah.
So if you said I'm 30 miles away, I was just going to joke and say, well, you better get after it. No, but what you're doing is you're trying for a minimum of 15 to 20 minutes a day. So if you had slippers, sandals, tennis shoes, just take them off and put your bare foot on the grass if it's safe. I don't want you stepping on rocks that can cut you or glass.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a real nice grassy area that I could walk in, but what if I sit on the bench and just let my feet be in the grass?
Well, that's one way, but I need you to think about the other concept. Most people do not get enough blood and oxygen and nutrients through their kidneys, and so one study that I'm thinking of was they asked the question, how much blood do the kidneys filter on an average day of a nursing home resident? And the number was 200, as in gallons. So it's the same pint of blood that keeps passing to the kidneys over and over again, and after all the passes, they say, okay, they filtered about 200 gallons a day. But do you know what normal is? Normal people are 2,000 plus. And so you've got to have it in your mind that the more that you move and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the rules I was looking at, it's a mathematical equation. They were asking the question, what does it take to rejuvenate the body? And now, I mean, I've looked at so many different articles. This is just one. They're saying if you're trying to overcome a health problem or improve, it takes about an hour and a half a day of some activity. And so what that may be is you walk down to the gym and you pedal the bicycle for 15 minutes and then walk on the treadmill and then maybe do some light weight training or something.
Well, I walk our halls and I've timed it where that I'm walking 2 miles a day.
Good job.
And a few weeks ago or so, you said walk every day, and so that's what I've been doing.
I think you're doing great
this week, but and I know you keep talking about walking barefooted. Now I walk barefooted in my apartment a lot of days.
Good.
To try to get that, you know, to be barefooted.
Well, today's Barefoot Saturday, so you have to.
Okay.
So these are some of the things you can look at. So has this been enough, or do you want more?
Well, I know other people want to call in, but that's been real helpful because that's one thing that, oh, but I don't know really which thing to work on because I do, well, I know I don't drink enough water.
Well, why don't you start?
My voice right now.
Why don't you just start by looking at your lab work from your last doctor's visit?
Okay, and that wasn't too long ago, and I got good reports, so I'll go
well,
back and
if you're
look at
if
it
you're,
closer.
If the one called GFR is at 100, I'm going to agree with you and say, that's fabulous. Way to go. You're doing some things right. But still, you're giving me enough clues to make me think that we need to address some stress on your kidneys.
Yes.
And so anything below the number 95 on that one marker called GFR, what that means is you've got significant damage to your kidneys. I do not know any other way to interpret this.
Okay.
Because if I interpret it, what do you want me to be a dismissive doctor? Ma'am, you're in kidney failure, but I don't really see it as a problem because they're not my kidneys, and how does that affect me at all? No,
yeah.
You don't want that at all.
Right.
I literally ask questions of everybody. I go, what does your doctor say about this right here? How did they approach it? What was their plan? Did they come up with an idea on how they're going to restore you? Did they give you any dietary recommendations? They tell you what to eat, what to stay away from? They go, no, he just wrote a prescription for another blood pressure drug. Well, how come? Well, doctors 50 years ago didn't do that stuff. They only used drugs as a very, very short-term intervention until they can get the person well, where they didn't need the drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think I'm right about that or wrong about that? What's your opinion?
Oh, as few drugs as I can take, the better I like it.
Amen.
I try to do everything natural, and as I learn of more things, then I try to incorporate that into what I'm doing if it's something that, I haven't been aware of and so forth.
I
And
did
so.
not mention this a while ago, but it came to my mind. So, you know how the mind works. It's different for different people.
Right.
But a lot of times I think in terms of songs. It's weird, I
Oh,
know.
yeah.
And I really think in terms of colors. So I think my buddy at church was making fun of me because I was teaching a class, but I just use all these colored markers to highlight points I want to make. And I'm going, okay, but this is my system. This is what works for me. But I was thinking about a song about a tree, but there's a substance called Brazilian green propolis.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about
And
that.
it has been definitely shown to be very beneficial for kidney health. So look at what the little honeybee does for us to help our kidneys. And so if you want to go to your computer, do you have a computer?
I do.
Well, go to your laptop and just start a new page and just say research on Brazilian, or just type in green, as in the color of someone's eyes, green propolis and kidney function. See what you come up with.
Spell propolis.
PRO. I'm going to have to write it down. It's like pro Polish without the H. It's PROPOLIS. There's no H. But I am pro Polish, though. I want you to know that. Some of the Polish people that I've met have been so smart, it's unbelievable.
Does that come in a form that we can take
Of
it, or?
course, it's a capsule. Yeah, you can get it in capsule form. So you don't have to taste it. It doesn't taste good in liquid form, I promise you. I try to do my job to test everything to make sure the person doesn't die when they take it.
Well, and then how many
I'd
milligrams or
have no
whatever?
idea what your brand is, so you're going to have to follow the manufacturer's recommendation. I wish everything was identical, but it's not. And so that's the way that human beings are. They have strengths, they have weaknesses. And you realize I'm at a great disadvantage on the radio because I can't do anything to examine you to find out if the kidneys are really the problem, or if it's more of a digestive issue or a problem with your liver, which I don't know. The liver is the other system in the body that, makes a lot of the lymphatic fluid and keeps your body clean. So just look at those things right there, and I hope that helps you a whole bunch.
It has, and I hope it helped a lot of other people this
Me
morning.
too. I
Thank you
bet you
very
it did.
much.
You're welcome, man. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, there's a phone line once again open. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. And so the other principle that maybe I want to talk about just for a moment. A lot of times as human beings, we just don't have a sense of urgency. I really wish there was a switch that I could flip to cause a person to have a great desire to take care of themselves, but that doesn't exist. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, sir?
I'm excellent, thank you.
Good. I was looking at my blood work and Carl's blood work, and my blood work on my GFRAA says 101.
That's not you, though. That's African American. That would be for someone that has dark skin and you have white skin. So what's the other one? There should be one that says non-AA.
It says GFRNAA
That's it. That's you.
84.
Okay, so your kidneys are working exactly to 84% efficiency. That means there's some damage to your kidneys, and I think it would be wise to try to improve them.
All right, and Carl's, it says kind of different on his blood test. It says GFR MDRD non-AFAMER.
Yeah, that's the same thing as yours.
It says 72 on his.
So his kidneys are working exactly at 72% efficiency. So he's actually, and I don't mean these in a bad way, my commentary. I don't. I'm very sympathetic. But his kidneys are not working as well as yours are.
Yes, sir.
So he's got some kidney damage also.
Okay, Carl said he's 13 years older than I am.
Tell him that just because he's 137 years old, that's no excuse.
That's no excuse.
No, I'm just joking about that. You mean he's keeping score of his age? Is that it?
Sir?
What does he feel like he is age-wise in his brain? I feel like I'm probably closer to 12 or 13.
25.
25, okay. Yeah, I knew he was more mature than I was. So, what?
We don't
drink.
We don't drink coffee anymore, though. We got off coffee in 3 months ago, and we're drinking dark cocoa, like the old
Baker's. Yeah, like the cacao.
Cocoa.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yes, sir. We're drinking that in the mornings with half and half.
Who do you think you are doing that strategy? Are you trying to help yourself?
Yes, sir.
Good answer. I told the lady that was just on the phone that there was a study that showed that the Brazilian green propolis was very good at helping the kidneys to heal and improve.
Okay.
I also believe there's a substance that's known as chlorella. Have you ever heard of chlorella?
On your program, I have.
Okay, it's a type of algae that grows wild in the Pacific Ocean. That stuff is, the more research I read, it's amazing. And so those are things that can help kind of detoxify the body, because one of the things the kidneys like, they like it when you don't put a lot of garbage in the body, because they have to filter all that out.
Yes, sir.
What about what?
He said, what about tuna?
I think if you have it as a protein, I think if you eat a little bit, you're fine. If you eat a lot of it, you always run the risk of getting exposure to toxic metals. But then again, that's what chlorella does. Chlorella has a very unique way to act as a chelating substance to pull toxic debris from your body so it can pass out. And usually it goes out through the stool, so if you had a bowel movement after taking chlorella, you would say, oh my goodness, what's that dark green looking stuff in my poop? And that would be the chlorella.
Yes, sir.
So that's one of the things that can be done.
I was having trouble with my blood pressure. It was like 110 over 110 at times.
Well, do you mean the lower number was 110?
Yes, sir.
And see, that's called your diastolic, but I think that's a good point, Cheryl. Because when your diastolic is 110, that's a clue that the kidneys are under stress.
Yes, sir. And I was taking hawthorn berry, had been taking it for several years.
And that's a good choice.
But I had to go on a blood pressure pill. And the blood pressure pill I'm on is LOSARTAN-HCTZ 50 milligrams.
Last night I came across an article about an herbal remedy they tested, and it's just one single herb. I had not heard of it before, but they said it works even better than a thiazide diuretic. That's what the HTZ stands for, of that drug.
Yes, sir.
So they're giving you a diuretic, and diuretics are kind of like, did you ever ride horses when you were young?
No, sir. I was always afraid of horses.
Is that why when the horses start the stampede, you run for it?
Yes, sir.
Well, when I was young, we used to ride horses, and I had friends that they would always take a riding crop with them. This is basically, it's like a whip, and they would put spurs on. Well, I could just never wrap my head around that I had to, like, kick the horse with spurs to make him do what I wanted. And I realized the horse experts out there are going to probably tell me I'm wrong. I probably am. But when you take a diuretic, it's like kicking your kidneys with spurs.
Okay.
And so I can't remember the title of the article that I looked at last night, but it caught my attention because it said this particular herb works better than a thiazide diuretic, and that's what they have you on. They're forcing your kidneys to remove water, and so you're going to lose electrolytes with that. So what we had to do is we had to figure out, what do we do to improve your kidneys? And so I'm kind of going through a bunch of stuff like baking soda, exercise and walking, avoiding sugar.
I've started taking baking soda 3 times a day also.
How much are you taking?
just a little bit on the end of a teaspoon with like 2 ounces of water.
But you're not taking an entire teaspoon of baking soda, are you?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Well, I usually, most of the studies show that a half a teaspoon to maybe a teaspoon is just fine. I just want to make sure you don't get like 3 tablespoons a day.
Oh, no. I'm not. Oh, no. Oh, no. Carl said he don't think I'm taking enough. I just put a little bit on the tip of it.
You know, if Carl really loved you, he would ride his bike down to the store right now and buy you a 5-gallon bucket of baking soda. That'll
well,
cost him
a baking soda. He always makes sure of that.
You mean you have enough to last for a year?
Well, not enough to last for a year, but maybe like 4 months.
4 months. Is that like about 30 cents worth?
Should I have enough to last for a year? I will get it.
Well, it'd be easy.
Okay,
it'd be easy.
I'll take that hint.
I think that there's a compound found in frozen cherries. It's called the compound is called an anthocyanidine. It's a flavonoid. It is really good for the kidneys. So.
Okay.
But how's he going to ride his bicycle to Walmart, get frozen cherries, and ride all the way back home when they stay frozen? How's he going to do that?
I don't know, in this hot weather.
It's only 109. I don't see what the big deal is.
Right.
So, but the other thing is, what I
and
usually...
he also takes baking soda.
Well, I think that's smart.
Yes,
one of the biggest things of all time that I see that's hard on the kidneys is a protein found in the blood called ferritin. F-E-R-R-I-T-I-N, ferritin.
Uh-huh.
When that is elevated, it's cutting the kidneys to pieces. It's like stabbing them with a knife blade. It's like poking them with a needle because it's a buildup of rusted iron in the body. So when ferritin for a woman is below 30, that's perfect. When a man's ferritin probably needs to be between 40 and 50. So if a man has a ferritin of like 250, that would be really hard on the kidneys. And so the solution for some people is just donating blood as one solution.
Yeah, Carl, he can't do that. They won't do it.
Well, could you just take him out to the garden and just, you know, do it yourself in the garden?
I don't know.
He would.
I hadn't thought about it.
Well, just ask him if he wants to go for a picnic and ask him just to lay back and, you know, you can put the leeches on him.
Okay.
No, you know I'm joking.
Yes, sir. Leeches are terrible.
Well, that's what they used to use a long time ago when they're trying to get sick people well. They're trying to drain some blood off of them.
Yeah, I remember one time swimming in a pond and getting some leeches on us.
Well, do you remember where that pond is? Because you and Carl could go swimming today.
Yeah.
No, that's what they would do when people have thick blood, because the leeches actually secrete a compound that helps thin the blood out significantly.
Yeah, I was looking for that ferritin on here, but I don't see anything.
Well, they probably won't order that unless you ask for it, but I think that would be very good for you to ask for that next time you go.
Okay.
Because you're trying to learn, and we're looking for any clues that we can. And so both of you have room for improvement. Of course, you know, the thing of it is, as I say stuff like that, every human being that's listening right now, we all have room for improvement. The task is at hand. We have work to do. And if you want to do the work, we need the body and the mind to work pretty well, right?
That's right. That's
we don't want to have nonstop disease at every turn.
That's right.
Anyway, I think we're pretty much out of time today. Sorry to cut you off.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Morgan. If you think of that herb, let me know.
Well, I'll have to. I know where it's located. I just have to go on my computer and find it. But it was one that I was not familiar with, but I tagged it like, okay, I need to read about that herb. So I'm sorry I can't give you more information. I'll try to pick it up next week.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. God bless y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.